Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Blessed Stephen and Blessed Raymond. This is the story of Blessed Stephen of Toulouse, my friend, my companion, and though far worthier than I, my spiritual brother. My name is Raymond, and I was born in the region of southern France, Corps-Provence. When my younger brother Joseph was married and settled in life, I was able to do as I had long desired and join the Franciscans. This was about the year 1230, and for 10 years I was happy to trudge the roads of France and Italy in the steps of our father, Francis. Years before, in school, I had made a friend of Stephen, but he far outstripped me in learning and eloquence. Before many years had passed, he was the abbot of a great Benedictine monastery. And so when I received the letter from Joseph, I turned to Stephen.
It's good to see you, Friar Raymond. But you seem upset. I hope this sudden visit doesn't mean bad news.
It does, Abbot Stephen. Terrible news.
What is it?
You know of my younger brother, Joseph. I brought him up almost. Our parents died when we were very young.
Yes, I know. The last I heard, he was happily married and the father of a fine girl. Now what's happened?
He lives in Toulouse. Stephen, you know what's been happening in Toulouse.
Raymond, but your brother...
It's hard to believe, but I know Joseph is weak. It's his wife. And they say that this strange new heresy is very attractive to women.
I have heard so.
But this letter of Joseph's is so strange. At first he seems all excited over this heresy, telling me how it will reform the whole church. But then he seems to grow frightened, defiant. I can't make it out at all.
How much do you know about these Catharists, Raymond?
I know that they seem to have sprung up suddenly out of nowhere, and mostly in the domain of the Count of Toulouse. I've never met one. Is it a sort of madness or what?
It isn't new, Raymond. It is old, as ancient as evil. Every few hundred years, it turns up again in a new disguise. And it can be terribly dangerous.
Joseph talks about curing the worldliness of the church, Stephen. Bringing back the simplicity and true holiness of the apostles.
I know. Does he also explain that for these fanatics there is only one sin, and that is to give life? That to marry and bear children is to court damnation?
But that's ridiculous, Stephen. How could you possibly persuade any normal person of such a doctrine?
Raymond, the mind of man is capable of almost any folly. That's why we need the discipline of faith. Their argument is simple enough. It appeals to certain minds. You see, according to their doctrine, there is not one God, but two, equally powerful and always at war. The evil God created all matter, the earth, everything we see and touch, and also man's body. Only the soul comes from the good God.
But I remember enough of my schooling. That's the Manichaean heresy, isn't it?
I said it was not new, Raymond.
But if the whole world is evil... Yes, I see. That would make suicide a good thing. Do people possibly believe that?
They do. And a few even follow it. But for most people, there is a much more attractive solution. You see, only a handful of leaders are expected to abandon the world and become ascetics. The rest can do exactly as they please, since there is no way they can live in an evil world and not be evil too. But before they die, they must renounce the world. They call this rite the consolation.
But if you don't die...
Oh, you must die. You can only receive the consolation once. If you recover afterwards, you have no hope in this world or the next. And so, no one recovers. If you are a true believer, you simply starve yourself to death. And this is called the endurer. But if you haven't courage enough for that, then you receive help.
You mean these people will actually commit murder?
It's done by one of the leaders. They call themselves the perfect because they believe that they cannot commit any sin.
And my poor brother has joined this horrible thing?
Our Holy Father has said that these Catharists are actually worse than the Saracens. He's right. The followers of Mohammed are altogether misled, but they do believe in God and in life. These poor creatures in Provence have given themselves over to death. If they could persuade everyone to join them, they would destroy mankind.
I can't see how anyone could possibly join them, Stephen. They must all be mad.
Oh, no, not at all. Some, perhaps, but there are others who can see the possibilities of this dreadful doctrine. I don't think the Count of Toulouse is out of his mind, for instance.
I don't understand you, Stephen.
I'm afraid you will, Raymond. Look, you want to go to your brother, of course.
Oh, yes, I must.
It'll be dangerous. The Count has forbidden any priests to enter his dominions. He turned back Bishop Fulco of Marseille at the border only a few months ago.
Nevertheless, I must go.
Well, as it happens, His Holiness asked me to try to find two volunteers to slip into Toulouse and find out if this madness is truly as bad as we fear. There must be many like your brother who need help to recover their faith and sanity. May I come with you, Raymond?
You? But this monastery, your duty.
What do they matter if there's a chance of saving even one soul? God chose us to look after his sheep, Raymond. And these sheep are lost in a very great darkness. We'll go after them together.
That was Stephen, my friend. We hid our habits under the robes of not very prosperous merchants. And by God's grace, we came safely past the border guards and into the lands of the Count of Toulouse. And what we found there was truly frightening. The Count had taken over the monasteries and looted them. With this new wealth, he entertained his people lavishly, with great displays and public feasts. A strange atmosphere of excitement in the air. We found a small inn near the outskirts of Toulouse. And to my brother's home, I sent a message that I hope he'd understand. Late that night, there was a knock at our door. I opened it to find a girl in a dark cloak and hood staring at me.
Is it? Are you my uncle?
Why, you must be little Marie. But not so little now. You're quite a grown-up young lady. Come in.
I mustn't be away too long. I have to stay with Father, you see. He needs me.
Is he ill, child?
They say so, and I think he is, but not as ill as they pretend.
Child, has he had the consolation?
Oh.
This is Abbot Stephen, Marie. He came with me.
Another priest here in Toulouse? Oh, you must be very careful, you know. It's awfully dangerous for you.
Never mind about that, my child. Has your father undergone the consolation?
Not yet, but I heard Mother telling my uncle, that's her brother, you know, that she meant to send for one of the perfect tomorrow. And that means Father will have to die.
But he wrote to me. I'm sure he doesn't want to die in this insanity.
Oh, he doesn't, of course, but what can he do? My mother won't listen to him or to anyone except her brother. She doesn't even seem to like... Well, she doesn't seem like my own mother anymore. She hates me. She said so. She says that giving me life was terribly wrong.
Poor child. You see, Raymond, sincerity in a false belief can be as dreadful as intentional evil.
This brother of hers, is he one of the perfect?
Oh, no. He's a great friend of the Count himself. But until all these changes happened, he was quite poor, and Father used to have to give him money, I think. Now he keeps telling Mother that if Father doesn't have the consolation right away, he'll die. And I know that if he does, he'll surely die. It always happens.
I must see your father, Marie.
Oh, I don't see how. Truly, I don't. Mother watches him like a hawk. He's weak from hunger, but she won't feed him. That isn't right, is it? God doesn't really want us all to die.
Child, it's wrong, dreadfully wrong. Stephen, what can we do?
Child, is there a small door anywhere at the back of your home?
Yes, a little door off the back alley. Our house faces a big square, you know, but we use the small door sometimes for tradesmen and to bring wood. It's usually locked.
Tomorrow, about 3 o'clock, Raymond will meet you at that door. Can you find a place to hide him near your father's room?
It would be easier if it were a little later, please. About 5 or so. I usually stay with my father then while Mother has dinner. The servants would be busy, too.
Very well. At 5.
And there's a little room right off my father's bedroom that will do to hide him. But, oh, it's such a risk. If you should be caught, Uncle Raymond...
My brother needs me, child. I'll be there. And if I could do nothing else, I can at least give him the last rites and see that he dies in peace.
I must go back now. I'll tell him that you're coming. He'll be so happy. But I'm afraid to leave him for long. I don't think they dare do anything while I'm with him.
Raymond, see her safely outside. Have courage, child. There is only one God, and he is good.
Quickly, Marie, down this passage.
Oh, let me get my hood over my face. Oh!
What is it? Here, down this way, quick.
I saw him. My uncle, Uncle Leopold, he's here.
That man who came through the door, the big man?
Yes, he followed me. He knows you're here.
I doubt it, child. He would have brought soldiers.
But then why is he here?
I don't know. Never mind. Just be waiting for me at 5 tomorrow. And pray, child. Pray to the good God who loves children. The gentle Christ, who was a child himself in Bethlehem. I hurried back to Stephen, and together we went down into the main room of the inn, where many men were drinking and eating. We found space in a corner not far from where the man Marie had seen was sitting. He seemed to be waiting for someone. And presently, as we ate our meager supper, a tall man in a fine furred robe and hood strode in and came directly to the place where Marie's uncle waited. They began to talk. And perhaps by God's special grace, we were able to overhear them through the noise in the room.
I feared you weren't coming, Your Grace.
Quiet, you fool. Someone may recognize me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What about that matter? Is the girl's father dead yet?
Near enough. My sister intends to have him consoled tomorrow morning. It won't be long then.
Still, he might recover.
No fear. I'm his heir. He won't recover.
A useful religion, this one. It used to be quite difficult and expensive to get someone murdered. And now it's attended to quite openly by a pack of fools in long white robes.
It's a nuisance listening to their sermons, sir.
True, but there are compensations. For instance, the girl.
All the girls, eh?
Yes, but I want this one. She's a pretty thing with spirit.
Well, as soon as I have Joseph's money, you'll have Marie. If her mother should object, we can always arrange to have her fall ill.
As you please, so you see to it.
Another day or so at the most, my friend.
Make sure of it. My guards are waiting. I'll leave you.
I'd best get back to my poor brother-in-law's bedside. You know, I have a feeling that he may have taken a turn for the worse.
You understand now, Raymond, what I said about evil men turning this false doctrine to their own ends?
Yes, Stephen. I think I've been listening to the devil.
Yes, you have. The devil speaks in so many tongues. He even speaks through that poor child's mother who believes herself to be perfect. Oh, we need humility, Raymond. We need humility. The church tells us hard things. But they are true things. When we leave her to explore new doctrines, we go where the devil finds us unprotected.
But, Stephen, can we save Marie and my poor brother?
We can try. Tonight we must send word to Bishop Fulco in Marseille. And tomorrow, we'll ask God's help and do our best.
Next day, burying the holy oil carefully under my cloak, I slipped inside my brother's house. Marie met me with a white and terrified face.
Oh, thank God you've come. I think I know something happened while I was gone last night. Father is so weak, he can't talk to me. He only moans sometimes. But when I managed to tell him that you were coming, his eyes lit up. Come this way.
I followed her down several corridors until she shut me into a very small room. There was a door at the other side, and by putting my ear at the crack, I could hear voices inside. I heard the voice of the man Leopold and a woman's voice. And once a low moan that must have been my poor brother. I waited with pulsing heart, praying silently. And then, loud enough for me to hear, came a roar from the square outside the house. And the voices in the room beyond quickly rose as evidently a servant brought word of what was happening.
A priest! A priest in the square preaching! Impossible! Come on, we'll take care of this right now.
There was silence in the room beyond. I opened the door and saw that they had left my brother-in-law. Poor soul. He was wasted and thin. But his eyes fluttered open as I knelt beside him. And I read in them his joy and gratitude. Quickly I confessed him, needing no more than a movement of his head to confirm what I read in his eyes. And then I brought out the viaticum and anointed him for the journey he was so plainly about to take into another world. The uproar outside the house continued. When all was done, I bent to whisper to my brother. Go in peace, my brother. We'll care for Marie. God is everywhere. And his mercy is great. go in peace.
You must go quickly. It's horrible. They caught your friend in the square. He didn't even try to get away. They're taking him to the Count.
It is you who must go at once, Marie. Your father is safe for all eternity, but you're in terrible danger, believe me.
But I mustn't leave Father.
Look at him, child. Read his eyes. He can't speak, but you can see what he's trying to say.
Father, must I go away?
Yes, Marie. Come just as you are. We've no time to lose.
Oh, yes. Goodbye, Father. Oh, look, Uncle Raymond. He looks happy. Happy for the first time in so many long months.
Goodbye, my brother. Come, Marie. We slipped unseen out of the house and hurried away from the crowds, which still filled the main street with clamor. I knew the crowds would be hurrying to the Count's palace, so Marie and I went to the opposite side of the city. And when we were near the gates, I gave her a purse with all the money I had. You'll go straight to Bishop Foucault in Marseille, Marie. He's expecting you.
But what about you?
My place is here. My brother in the flesh. My brother in the spirit. All my brothers are here, Marie. I must follow Stephen. God and Mary, his mother, will keep you safe. God bless you, child. And under his protection, I left her, a small, brave figure. I knew Our Lady would watch over her. Now I made all the haste I could to the Count's palace, guided by a great noise and the hurrying people of the city. But when I arrived, there was so great and angry a crowd that I could not get near Stephen, whom I saw standing in a cleared space in the courtyard, held by cruel hands, looking up at the Count who stood upon a balcony. So I stripped off my merchant's robe and stood forth in my ragged brown habit, and called out with all my strength of voice,
Stephen! Stephen, she is safe, and so is he! God be praised, my brother!
With a great outcry, they found me then and hustled me up to stand beside Stephen. I looked up at the Count, and I confess that I read death in his eyes, and I was afraid. But then I looked at Stephen, and his face was quiet and at peace. But a terrible holy anger burned in his eyes. His voice cut through the angry shouts and silenced them.
You whom men call Count of Toulouse, I speak to you as a man and a priest, but my words are the words of God. Through me speaks the voice of Christ our King, the High King of Glory, who is also the King of Life, and the child who was born in a stable in Bethlehem under the star. I speak for all children who shall be born, human children, children of men, but blessed with an immortal soul and the hope of heaven, children to be loved and cherished, the children of whom are the kingdom of heaven.
He blasphemes. I am not one of the perfect, but I know what they teach. Children are evil. Children are not for us. Let mankind end with us. And with it all evil.
Cowards! Let mankind end with you? Who are you? No more than one generation of men. Good men, evil men, according as you have followed the teachings of Christ. God will decree the end of our generations in his own good time. Is it for you to end the work of salvation? God's Son began it. God the Father will end it.
I say that one religion is as good as another. Whatever religion I care to omit in my dominions is the true religion.
If it were not for you and those like you, we could reason with these unhappy people. But you see how to gain wealth and pleasure out of their delusions, as always happens when the devil distracts men's minds. So I tell you that sane men must come against you with fire and sword to destroy you. But if it were not for you, it would be ended in a month by simple priests preaching the truth to free men. You to whom God has given this people as a trust, Will you have their lives and souls on your own head?
On my head be it. And no one will rescue you, you fool. Gods, destroy them!
I saw my friend's face lifted to heaven as the swords pierced his breast. And so he died. And as he had spoken, it came true. Fire and sword came against that terrible heresy because the Count would not give it up. But when he was dead, it was forgotten. And mothers still hold babies at their breasts in Provence. And in the churches, the Lord Jesus and Mary, his mother, are loved and worshipped, because in them our human nature is glorified. Our poor human nature, which is not evil, but only human. He was truly a man of God, my brother Stephen. It was an honor to me to die with him.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.